Good morning. I think what I have to present here today follows very nicely with our first presentation, actually. I'm Ellen Schaefer, and I'm currently, as Melissa said, at the University of Iowa. However, I did my first year of PhD work at the University of Memphis in the School of Public Health. So this is where the majority of our data comes from this morning. I'll also be speaking about the influence, particularly about advice on different kinds of infant feeding, and from a more quantitative point of view. The research here this morning was funded by the Center for Health Equity Research at the University of Memphis School of Public Health, and the project PIs were Dr. Natalie Williams and Sasso Ishida. I have no relationships to disclose. And just some quick background. We know that breastfeeding provides substantial health benefits for both mothers and infants in terms of reduced risks of infections and sudden infant death syndrome and later childhood obesity, along with quicker healing from childbirth for mothers and reduced risks for ovarian and breast cancers. And currently, the World Health Organization Center for Disease Control and Prevention and American Academy of Pediatrics all recommend that infants be exclusively breastfed for at least the first 6 months, with continued breastfeeding for at least the first year. We also know, especially based after our first presentation, that social relationships influence mothers' infant feeding practices. In particular, influences from health professionals, peers, the infant's father and the infant's grandmother, or the mother's own mother, play a particularly important role. And this brings the need to consider the mother's social network when developing interventions, but also just when speaking about breastfeeding or how a woman will feed her child. And so this is what drove our research question. We wanted to understand what are the factors that facilitate support and advice provision about infant feeding, and which characteristics of relationships are associated with this kind of support or advice, which led to the aim of our study, which was to understand the types of relationships or characteristics that are associated with the provision of infant feeding advice, particularly three different kinds: advice to exclusively breastfeed, advice to breastfeed in combination with formula, and advice to formula feed exclusively. And so in doing this, we identified 80 mothers through WIC and also a pediatric clinic that serves low-income 10 care or Medicaid patients. And we interviewed 80 mothers and asked them particularly these two questions: who has been important to you during the past year, and who is important in your daily life, especially in caring for and feeding the baby? Out of these two questions, the 80 mothers listed 287 network members. And so these are the folks who we then got some additional information about. And of interest today is, who has told you that you should breastfeed exclusively? Who has told you that you should use a combination of breastfeeding and formula feeding? And who has told you that you should exclusively formula feed? It may be interesting to note before we go a little further that 127 of these 287 network members provided at least one kind of advice. So there's a substantial amount of network members that provided no advice at all. And actually, 20 of them provided more than one kind of advice. So may have said something at one time and then said something else at another time, perhaps to match whatever the mother was doing at the time. So just some sample description and some background. The average age of our mothers in this study were just under 25 years old. The majority African American, the majority were first-time mothers. And due to our sampling, the majority, 88%, were members of Medicaid, single and never married, and 74% received some kind of infant feeding advice. So this is the group that we're particularly looking at. And on average, the network size, so the number of women or the number of network members that they listed based on our two questions of who's important to you, was just over 3.5, which is kind of small when you're thinking about social networks, but we were particularly looking at that subset of their overall network. So in terms of the network members, 23% of them were the mother's own mother, so the baby's grandmother. 19 were a spouse or a partner, which goes back to our sample and that the majority were single or never married. And actually, about 6% of those that were listed were healthcare providers, which is small out of the overall total of 287, but this becomes important later. So of these 287 network members, 22% provided advice to breastfeed exclusively, 16 said to breastfeed in combination with formula, and 13% provided advice to formula feed exclusively. So in order to determine which variables were important to the provision of each of these different kinds of advice in that bubble, from both the network members and also based on characteristics of the participants, we created 3 two-level logistic regression models, particularly one for each of the 3 different kinds of advice. We were considering those our outcomes. And we did this in order to account for the clustering of network members within each mother's network. To pick out the variables to include in our model, we first did a bivariate analysis, and on the participant level, for the mothers, age, race, and marital status were significant, and so they were included in our model. And in terms of relationship characteristics, we considered what was the relationship between the network member and the mother. We also looked at age and gender and where this person lived, if they lived with each other or somewhere else, how often they see each other or talk to each other, and whether or not this person is also a parent. And of these, the only thing that was significant in bivariate analysis was whether or not this person was a healthcare provider. So that was included in our model. But we also included these additional 4 characteristics. So those who provide emotional support was significant. Those who help make decisions about infant feeding, whose opinion is important to the mother, and how his or her own child or children were fed was also significant with at least one of our 3 outcomes and included in the model. So in terms of providing advice for exclusive breastfeeding, and odds ratios, those who were healthcare providers, people who help with feeding decisions, and those who exclusively breastfed their own children had higher odds of providing exclusive breastfeeding advice compared to people who didn't fill these roles. And what's interesting is this is where the healthcare providers came into play. So the odds ratio was much higher for healthcare providers versus people that were not healthcare providers to provide exclusive breastfeeding support, which perhaps is intuitive. But what's interesting is that those who helped with infant feeding decisions were also likely to provide exclusive breastfeeding support. And if the network member's own child was exclusively breastfed, then that's the kind of advice that they gave. What came out at the participant level was the odds of receiving exclusive breastfeeding advice were lower in the networks of married mothers compared to mothers with other marital statuses. And this could be for a variety of reasons, but the best that we could surmise is that generally married women intend to breastfeed at higher rates than non-married women, and spouses tend to support the mother's breastfeeding decisions. And so this result may be due to the fact that network members may not think that married mothers need this kind of advice. In terms of being given advice to combination feed or breastfeed in combination with formula, the odds were higher for people who provide emotional support, for people whose opinion is important to the mother, and for people whose own children were fed using a combination method. So again, we see this last one in terms of how the network member's own child was fed is how they were likely to advise the mother in our study to feed her child. And then lastly, our third outcome in terms of formula feeding exclusively or exclusive formula feeding, the odds of receiving this kind of advice were higher from someone who had exclusively formula fed his or her own children. But I think the key, and especially in being part of this session this morning, a participant level variable came out here. And that was, compared to mothers of other races, the African American mothers in our sample had higher odds of receiving this advice to formula feed exclusively, more than 8 times the amount of non-African American women. So this may say something in terms of family and friends perhaps discouraging breastfeeding if it's not culturally acceptable or does not fit within their social norms. And formula feeding may be the social norm or the cultural accepted norm within this population, leading to network members providing this kind of advice in order to fit or to influence based on the norms. So this study further elucidates that the type of advice provided tends to follow the trends based on where the mothers live and the families and friends and situations that they are in. So this is something that we need to consider in terms of developing interventions, is that a lot of times breastfeeding interventions tend to decontextualize and are for the mother or the mother and a partner. And really what we've discovered is that partners and the mother's own mother were not significant in this study in terms of providing advice. So we may need to look beyond her general network and look for those who are helping to make decisions. Look for those who are whose opinion are important and who provides emotional support, and include those folks within our interpersonal interventions to be providing advice in terms of infant feeding and breastfeeding. So our key finding overall that we saw in all three of our objectives was that the method that the network member used to feed his or her own child or children was significantly associated with the kind of advice that they provided. And nearly 74% of mothers received some form of infant feeding advice, which leads to the presence of social influence, which we certainly need to explore further. So in terms of limitations, our sample was low income and an ethnic minority in Memphis, Tennessee, which was by design. And our data is self-reported, which introduces the potential for social desirability and recall bias. And our network data is ego-centered, which means that we only asked the mothers themselves about their own perceptions of their network. So we didn't go beyond and ask specific network members what kind of advice they actually did or didn't provide. And we have cross-sectional data, so we cannot make any interpretations in terms of causality. So our overall take-home message is that social cultural norms may be consistent with the infant feeding advice given. And that's particularly important based on how the network member fed their own children. And exclusive breastfeeding advice tended to come from healthcare providers and those who help make infant feeding decisions. And combination advice tended to come from those who are emotionally supportive and whose opinion are important to the mother. And as I had mentioned previously, interventions should consider the characteristics of mothers, their social network members beyond their partner or their own mother, and the entire social network, particularly looking at those who help make decisions and are supportive or whose opinions are important when we do our interpersonal interventions. And I'd certainly like to acknowledge our whole research team and the women for sharing their stories with us and the clinic staff who helped us with recruitment. Thank you.